And a very good afternoon to you. It's 12:07 and you're tuned to Midday Matters here on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter. Happy to be back in the saddle. I've been feeling a bit under the weather. Sarah D'Elia filled in yesterday. Thanks very much to her and for to everybody for listening and participating yesterday. Today's program, we're getting close to closing out 2012, and we're asking you, what were your big business and economic stories of the year? Give us a call and share your thoughts. It's 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at middaymatters. And because this is a financial focus edition of the program, Susan Burns is with me this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. Yes, I'm glad to be here, too. You'll I guess, hear in my voice that it's also that bug that got you is gotten me and apparently our guest.
That's right. Joining us in studio, it's Rick Ferrant from the Fort Wayne Business Weekly. Rick, we had you back last year. It's been too long. Thanks for being back with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah, I broke down and went and saw a doctor yesterday after being sick for... So we're all sick.
It's going to be a froggy day. It's a froggy day at the Mad Rothschild Studios. We do want you to participate in today's program. So do give us a call or send us an email. Rick, we're talking about the biggest business and economic stories of this past year. And I'll put you on the spot here. To your mind, what was the big headline?
Well, certainly there is no right or wrong answer here. So, but as I thought about this, it occurred to me that a lot of the debate that's going on at the federal level and to a certain extent the state level, if you combine all of the factors that are occurring east of here in Washington, that just might be the biggest story of the year business-wise. And we're talking about the deliberations over the federal deficit. We're talking about tax increase discussions, which also mm-hmm. take into account the fiscal cliff. We're talking about healthcare reform. All of these things are on the table, and there are indicators that they have had somewhat of a dampening effect on business confidence. I just saw a couple of indicators within the last week that indicated that businesses were still a little bit leery of what's going to be coming down the pike. And so I think if you look at all of that, I think I don't want to say it's a cloud. Some might say it's a cloud, but I think it is something that's sort of hanging over businesses as they move forward and try to figure out what they're going to do with their growth plans, or if they're going to grow at all.
Let's remind our listeners, even though NPR and Marketplace have done a good job of covering it, what specifically the fiscal cliff is all about. I mean, this is a combination of not only tax increases, the expiration of the Bush tax cuts, but also we have sequestration on the horizon as well, a massive budget cuts on the national level as well.
Right, and so the question is, what kind of impact does that have on taxpayers and businesses? And if in fact people are hit with more taxes, that the thought is that's going to have some kind of negative effect on everybody. And of course, we also had some people call it Obamacare. In fact, Obama himself said that he didn't mind the term, which I thought at one point might have been pejorative. But the whole healthcare reform, which, as we know, basically was upheld, there are some concerns about the expenses that will sort of place on businesses. And I think the other thing about healthcare reform that really leaves a lot of uncertainty is this is a work in progress. There are still a lot of parts of healthcare reform that sort of have to be ironed out. Mm-hmm. And so here we sit, not really knowing how that's going to take place.
Well, and to an extent, I mean, we've seen that play out at least somewhat visibly in the health insurance exchange debates as those go on in Indiana and across the country. The federal government and the states are figuring out just how they're going to implement this.
Right, and I think there are a lot of businesses that you know at least have been considering: do we roll along with this, or do we just opt out of providing insurance for employees and say to our employees, you know, go find yourself some insurance in an exchange? And some businesses, I think, may think that it's cheaper for them to pay the penalty and let the employers go find insurance for themselves than it is to continue to provide insurance. So, you know, we have a couple of years here of really sort of maneuvering through this and seeing where it winds up.
Yeah, and that has a real impact on small business that's thinking about, you know, do I hire somebody and what are the benefit costs as well as the competitive wage kind of issues that they would face. So. Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, with all of these uncertainties and all of these doubts, I think that there's been enough investment, particularly in Northeast Indiana, which many economists will say, or economic development officials will say, has been pretty darn fortunate in exiting this recession compared to other areas of the country. So having even in light of what's going on at the federal level and, again, somewhat at the state level, we've had some really good news this year in this region.
Let's talk about that a little bit. And of course, I want to invite our listeners. What was the biggest money news in your world this year? Give us a call. It's 260-452-1185, or you can always call us toll free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And I should note, before we jump into a few of these things, John Stafford at the Community Research Institute at IPFW, we invited him to be on the program today. He couldn't be with us. But Susan, he sent some of his headlines as well.
Yes, he did, Sean. John is kind of the area guru for economic statistics and things, and so I was really glad he could send us that email. But things that he mentioned kind of follow right along with what Rick was saying about coming out of the situation, maybe not exactly smelling like a rose, mm-hmm. but better than others. And for example, he says the Fort Wayne MSA is one of only 23 metro areas in the U.S. To beat the national job growth rate every month since the beginning of the recovery.
Mm-hmm. That's significant, especially for a region that's was once hit very hard by the exit of manufacturing, in particular in Indiana and throughout the Midwest.
It is.
Yeah, and another one of the points John offered is Northeast Indiana per capita personal income is up slightly over prior years, which halts a long-term decline in per capita personal income growth relative to the nation. And that's when he says long term, he's talking since about 1970. Mm-hmm. So
I want to pause on this one specifically because that sounds a little confusing.
Yeah,
the way we put that. But Rick Ferrant, that basically means folks are starting to earn a little more. Do I have that right?
Yeah, basically that's what it means. And by the way, this whole per capita income thing, this is what economic development officials have used as the chief measuring stick for how we are doing economically in the region. It's not job creation, it's per capita income. Mm-hmm. And the percentage of per capita income as it relates to the national percentage. And the high that we had in the region was 96.2% in 1994. Mm-hmm. So basically that meant, you know, we were very close to what the national was.
For every dollar, yeah. You know, that is the national average, we earned about 96 cents on that dollar.
And so the latest figures show that Northeast Indiana's per capita income rose from, and it was low, from 79.4% of the national average in 2010 to 79.9% in 2011. And moreover, since 2008, it's fluctuated little, statistically speaking, which basically within a percentage point. Now, that doesn't sound like much. And certainly John Stafford will tell you that being basically at 80% of the national average is by no means satisfactory. However, you know, he and others had been really fond of showing this chart wherever they would go, which would show this really steep decline in this per capita income. And so essentially what's happened is in the last 3 or 4 years, it has leveled off. Mm-hmm. And so the suggestion there is that we've sort of stopped this halt or arrested this halt and maybe are beginning to move up a little bit. And so, yes, that means that people are being paid better and that kind of wealth and prosperity obviously is very important to a region. Mm-hmm. So well, if it continues you know, I don't want to speak for John. If it continues, that's kind of how I feel. If it continues, that's a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think I spoke to John as well when these numbers came out, and he was optimistic that this trend line of a few years, this kind of steadiness over a few years, may well be evidence that the bleeding has stopped. Mm-hmm. We have just about 2 minutes here before we go to a break, and I just want to talk just a little bit more about kind of the ripple effects of this, because you know, people getting paid more, even a little bit more, that's great, but that also means that they then have more money to spend in our local economy.
Correct. And one of the things that people who oversee job creation, people like Kathleen Randolph at Work One, one of the real keys here is it's not just create jobs. It's create jobs that will allow people to support families. And so that has been a real thrust among the various leaders in our community. And that may be one of the things that's being reflected here.
We do want to hear from our listeners today. We're talking, of course, with Rick Ferrant from Greater Fort Wayne, Business Weekly, about the biggest news stories of the year on the business and economics front. And we want to hear from you. What were the headlines that stuck out to you, even if they're personal headlines? Maybe you got a job or made a big financial breakthrough. We'd love to hear that news, too. Whatever the big news was for you, share it with us. Be a part of the conversation. 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. We do need to take a quick break. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Earlier this year, 12 people were killed and dozens more injured in a shooting at a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. Dominic Bivens was in the theater next door.
There was just all kinds of screaming, and it was just frantic. It was just terrible.
From Columbine to Newtown, the lives of those who bear witness can change forever. I'm Neil Conan, witness to tragedy. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
After your daily entree of TV, talk, phoning, and texting, push the envelope. Have the salad last. Toss jazz salad, that is, with me, Bob Mayer, Tuesday nights from 7 to 9 on 89.1 WBOI.
On the next Fresh Air, Christoph Waltz talks about starring in Quentin Tarantino's new film, Django Unchained. Waltz won an Oscar as well as a Golden Globe, BAFTA, and SAG Award for his portrayal of the Nazi SS officer Hans Landa in Tarantino's previous film, Inglourious Basterds. Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a wide range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and not-for-profit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. More information available at lakecitybank.com.
It's 12:22. You're tuned to Midday Matters on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns for this hour of the Financial Focus edition of our program. Joining us in studio, Rick Ferrant from Greater Fort Wayne Business Weekly. And we're talking about the biggest business headlines of the year, whether they're local or national or very personal as well. We want to hear what your headline was. What was most important to you in 2012? Give us a call. It's at 260-452-1185 or toll free at 1-800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We'll get back to the conversation about some of the macro and micro issues we were talking about in just a moment. First, though, we've got a caller on the line. Let's go to Mike. Mike, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Good afternoon.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, my comment is we were just talking about the fact that the average earnings in Fort Wayne is now closer to 80% of the national average. But relatively speaking, are we that much better off? How is the, in which way is the national average trending?
This was Rick Ferrant, at least on a very macro scale, kind of one of the headlines of the year. Families lost an awful lot of their net worth in 2012, something like 40% for a middle-class family, I want to say. Don't quote me on that. But nevertheless, folks got hit hard in this recession.
Yeah, they did. And I don't have an answer for you on that. However, one of the things that we were discussing in here is that trend, that most recent trend on per capita income, by no means it means that we're out of the woods. And there are a lot of other things that are going on, which I'm sure you're aware of, which is, so we can look at an unemployment rate that has dropped significantly, and yet, you know, there are people that we know who have stopped looking for work. And we know that there are probably a fair number of people out there who are underemployed. So it's just a small little piece of good news, and it's a trend that I think we need to watch. So it by no means means that we're out of the woods yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Certainly, we've at least stopped the bleeding. We haven't even necessarily, grown back toward the national average, but we were on such a downward trend for so many years. It looks like that spiral may have stopped for now.
So we're celebrating a dime here.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, we appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. 260-452-1185 is the local line, or you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Rick Ferrant, we had a lot of comings and goings, especially with local businesses this year. What were some of the big headlines from your perspective?
Well, I think another encouraging story, and I think I'm going to stick to some encouraging stuff for a while before we dive back into the negative. But the RV industry, which has always been important to Northeast Indiana, is experiencing somewhat of a resurgence. More than 80% of the nation's RVs are made in Indiana, and a good deal of those are made in North or Northeast Indiana. And while the industry is still down from its peak in 2006, when 390,000 RVs were shipped by U.S. manufacturers. Production's been climbing steadily since then, and projections are that, we're almost at the end of the year, that 265,000 RVs will have been shipped by the end of this year. So I think that's good news, and some of the RV companies are expanding and hiring workers or rehiring workers. So that's good news.
And to emphasize that point a little bit more, I mean, back kind of at the start, at the front end of the recession, the ailing RV industry, brought, say, Elkhart County's employment rate up into 15%.
Oh, it was 16%, higher than 15%. Yeah, it was up around 20. Yeah.
The first visit the first public speech that President Obama made after the inauguration was in Concord High School in Elkhart, Indiana.
Yeah.
That industry is so important. So it's good to see a bit of a resurgence there.
It is. And actually, the president visited that area twice. So mm-hmm. It sort of became the poster child for high unemployment rates nationally. So yeah, that is good news. One of the larger projects that we had, larger in terms of investment, was the opening of Parkview Regional Medical Center, which was about a $550 million project. And I think the significance of that, there are a couple of important things. One obviously is the sheer size of the project, and one would presume the enhanced health care that it's going to provide. But there's also been a lot of spin-off development up in that area. I'm sure anyone who drives up I-69 can sort of see that area grow faster than lightning. And one of the things up in that area that is really important to our region is Manchester University opening of its first four-year pharmacy school, which mm-hmm. is just in the shadow of Parkview Regional Medical Center. And so that will bring more talent to the area. That will presumably lead to some of these, the faculty as well, but some of the students staying and being employed in this area, because one of the things that studies show is that, especially in the medical field, is that if people do their residencies in a certain area, many of them tend to stay. And so that's going to help our per capita income. That's going to help our search for prosperity and wealth. Another big project was Sweetwater Sounds expansion, mm-hmm. The $23.6 million expansion that's going to create 350 high-paying jobs. And I think Sweetwater has been a story, even through the recession, that we could look at and say all hope is not lost, because that company has been growing steadily and hiring people by the bucketful, mm-hmm. and it just continues to prosper. And as it prospers, we prosper.
And Chuck Surak, in his groundbreaking, was very optimistic. I mean, he saw a future not too far down the line where he was hiring many more than those projected 350 employees.
Right, and one of the things that we know about these projections of employees is that's something you work out when you have incentives, and so you like to be fairly close, even if you think that perhaps you might hire an additional 100 or 200. And then just going through some of the other things, we have Franklin Electric's move from Bluffton to here. We have the big Family Dollar warehouse up in Ashley. Mm-hmm. We have Living Essentials expanding in Wabash. We have had a number of significant business locations and expansions in this last year, and I think we can all look to those and really, as you said, Susan, celebrate those.
And let me interrupt you here, Rick. We have a caller on the line, and of course, we invite our listeners to share their thoughts with us as well. Give us a call. It's 260-452-1185, or you can always post on our Facebook wall. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. Let's open up the phones and go to Dave. Dave, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Good afternoon. I heard the comments regarding the improvement in the average income level back to possibly 80%. What I'm wondering is, what about the average cost of living? Historically, We hear that Fort Wayne has, you know, very low cost of living when it comes to housing. But if our income level is, let's say, 80% of the average in the nation, where is our cost of living?
Rick Ferrand, I don't have numbers per se, but I believe the reputation here persists that we're a relatively affordable community when you compare nationwide.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers either, but we are a very affordable community.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a future show.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one of the things, you know, to perhaps highlight in this is the fact that really nationwide, you know, the rent cost has been going up. More folks are renting. That's driving costs up. Yeah. And so, you know, that could change.
Well, another thing to consider in this discussion about this. So we might look at this and say, okay, this area is very affordable, and therefore, you know, does the percentage really need to equal the national average? But one of the things that you do have to look at is that the area is really trying to attract talent.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of how affordable it might be here, you are competing in some fashion with other areas of the country where salaries are going to be significantly higher. Now, we're not going to compete with California, where salaries and the cost of living are ridiculously high. But I think we have to take into consideration that salary is one of the things that you use to attract people. We want to attract the top talent, and regardless of whether it's affordable to live here or not, people are going to want, in certain occupations, they're going to want a certain wage here.
And when you think back to our discussions earlier this year with Tug and some of the folks in the realty business at Upstar, our housing price we didn't get hit as hard by the foreclosures because our housing prices were lower, but now they're kind of rebounding, and I think the vibe among realtors anyway sounds like it's much happier these days.
Which means prices when you're buying a house could potentially go higher as well.
Yeah.
So, Dave, a great question. Thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Have a very good day. 260-452-1185 is our local line, or you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. We're talking today with Rick Ferrant from Greater Fort Wayne Business Weekly about the biggest business news and economics news, I should say, of the year. We were talking about some of the comings and goings, job announcements, and, of course, departures in our area as well.
Yeah, and just a few more that I wanted to mention. One, and fairly recent, is University of St. Francis buying up downtown property to have a campus down there.
They didn't buy the whole downtown, Rick.
I said buying downtown property. I didn't say buying the downtown. Did I say that? Buying the whole downtown?
You started to. It does kind of feel like that. But how great that, you know, we've found a new life for the Chamber of Commerce building.
It is. And
and really, the last few years, and especially this year, there has been a lot of big news in local education in terms of colleges expanding, building, getting downtown.
All of the above, and a lot of our colleges are doing really well. And by the way, they are really playing an integral role in educating people so that they can enter the workforce or re-enter the workforce. Staying on the downtown, I think that there continues to be good news about downtown housing. Mm-hmm. Looking at the Harrison and the Anthony Wayne developments, when last I checked, we seem to be rolling along, and people either buying condos at the Anthony Wayne or signing leases for the Harrison. And of course, the city just purchased another 2.7 acres just west of Parkview Field, mm-hmm. which now gives them about 4 acres that they intend to use for rental housing. So this whole push that, you know, a number of years ago, people were discussing that one of the things that we needed to have in the downtown was not only a place to work, but a place to live. That vision seems to be progressing along fairly well.
Aggressively, it seems like, especially with that new purchase of those properties west of Parkview Field.
Correct.
We have to take just a quick break here for the news and to take care of some business. We'll continue this discussion of the biggest business and economic stories of 2012 when we return. And of course, we want to hear from you. What was your big headline, whether it was national, international, local, or even personal? Maybe you got a job, or perhaps you're still looking. What are you seeing in the real economy in our area? 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. And of course, nobody in the phone bank right now, so your call will get right through. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
It's the busy season for a man who puts animatronic elves, reindeer, and snowmen in window displays around the world.
I have worked for the King of Morocco. I did the B. Altman's windows for 18 years prior to their going out of business. I did the Gimbel's windows. I've worked for Macy's Santaland.
A real-life Santa's workshop in Brooklyn. Today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOY News. An Indiana man found guilty of swindling investors out of about $200 million is appealing his convictions on fraud and conspiracy charges. Timothy Durham's notice of appeal appeared on the electronic docket of U.S. District Court in Indianapolis on Monday. The 71-page filing does not list an argument for appeal. The case will be heard by the Chicago-based 7th U.S. Circuit of Appeals. 50-year-old Durham was sentenced to 50 years in prison last month after a jury convicted him of securities fraud, conspiracy, and 10 counts of wire fraud in the collapse of Akron, Ohio-based Fair Finance. The new estate revenue predictions forecast that Indiana will be able to afford Governor-elect Mike Pence's proposal for a 10% across-the-board individual income tax cut. But as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, lawmakers are still taking a wait-and-see approach.
Pence estimates his tax cut would leave the state with nearly $800 million less in revenue over the next two budget years. But he also projects state revenues will grow enough to more than offset that. A new revenue forecast unveiled Monday falls in line with those projections. But Senate Appropriations Chair Luke Kenley says the success of Pence's proposal will come down to the legislature's priorities.
There's going to be a push to spend a lot of money on things that maybe haven't been spent in recent years. And there's going to be other pushes that say, look, we started down the path towards a leaner, smaller government. We need to keep going down that path. I think it's going to be a pretty lively discussion the next 4 months.
Portage Democratic Senator Karen Tallien, who sits on the state budget committee, says Pence's tax cut simply requires too much money.
All these agencies and everybody has already taken a huge hit. So we can't afford to, like, give away all the growth for the next 2 years into a $50 tax cut.
Kenley says it will be easier to judge the feasibility of Pence's proposal when the revenue forecast is updated again in April. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Legislators in Indiana say it's important to take a look at the underlying causes of the deadly school shooting in Connecticut instead of enacting laws that punish gun owners. Governor-elect Mike Pence said in a statement Monday that he would order a, quote, comprehensive evaluation of school security measures after he takes office. But some conservative legislators and activists say the real issue is keeping guns out of the hands of mentally ill people. Indianapolis attorney Guy Relford has filed lawsuits to make sure local governments and employers comply with state laws that allow people to carry guns in most public places or keep them in their cars at work. Relford says the state needs to spend more on mental health care, not take guns away from law-abiding citizens. You're listening to 89.1 FM, WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and now back to Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. afternoon. It's 20 minutes till the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. You're tuned to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. This, of course, the Financial Focus edition of our program, and we're talking today with Rick Farron from Greater Fort Wayne Business Weekly about the biggest business and economics headlines of 2012, and we want you to join the conversation. What was the big news, big money news, I should say, in your world? Maybe it's international, national, or even very personal, if you got a job or perhaps you lost one. We want to hear what was the biggest headline for you this year. 260-452-1185, or you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Rick, I rudely interrupted you before we had to take our break. We were talking about some of the big movers and shakers in terms of folks who had job announcements, maybe some who cut back as well.
Yeah, it wasn't rude. You did what you had to do. yeah, just a couple more as we sort of run down the list. I think it was interesting that the Rifkin family got back into the metal recycling business again, mm-hmm. and Danny Rifkin starting up Metal X up in Waterloo.
And for those not familiar with the Rifkin family,
Omnisource,
exactly.
Right, which a number of years ago was sold to Steel Dynamics, and so I think that's. I don't know what the ultimate upshot of all that is. I just think it's interesting that we have a very prominent businessman and business family getting back into the business that really helped them make their mark in this community.
Well, yeah. And getting back into a business, competing basically against one that they started.
Exactly.
And there's obviously, at least they think, enough room in this market for that competition.
And they do. And they plan on growing Metal X much the way they grew Omnisource. And one of the big catalysts for that is going to be acquisitions. So mm-hmm. I think that we can probably, see news coming down the pike in the years that follow about the acquisitions that Metal X makes.
Yeah. And mentioning the leaders and also SDI, we've got some transitions this year.
We do have some transitions. Mark Millett took over Steel Dynamics from Keith Bussey. I mean, he still serves as the chairman, but in the executive role, there was a changing of the guard there. Pat Miller stepped down from her executive position at Vera Bradley. And after much debate and consternation in the community, Vicki Carwine is the new chancellor at IPFW. So mm-hmm. we've had some significant comings and goings among our top executives in the community. Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to mention, which I think is important, well, I know it's important, and that is we finally got around to approving the use of the legacy funding.
Mm-hmm. And
just from my vantage point, one of the most important aspects of that is going to be the study that they've approved funding for riverfront development. Mm-hmm. Here we are a community, at least in Fort Wayne, that's fond of its three rivers, and we've talked about this for years and years and years. And my hope would be that we get beyond the study, that it's not put on the shelf, and that 20 years from now, people in Fort Wayne are still talking about how they're going to develop along the river. So,
well, and it's striking, that we have those resources, and we actually talked about this on a program earlier in the year. But we have those riverfront resources readily available, there are other communities in Indiana across the country that are building river walks. They're really trying to push hard for development on the river, something we really haven't seen in this area.
Yeah, and there are some great examples elsewhere in the country, and we've had leaders in the past few years from this area who have visited those others to sort of on fact-finding missions on how they got it done. So there's no question that others have learned how to do it and have actually done it. I think there's little question that people in this area think that it should be done here, and so hopefully this is the jumping off point for actually making progress in developing areas along the river.
Yeah, and You know, thinking about that and the, when are we ever going to do something, let's invite our listeners, Sean, to give us a call at 260-452-1185 or toll-free 1-800-471-9264. Or send us an email about how your year went in the areas of business and jobs and all that at middaymatters@nipr.fm. Or there's always that tweeting
that's
at
right.
Midday Matters. Did I get that right? Yeah, at Midday Matters.
At Midday Matters.
And lots
of ways to get a hold of us this hour, and we certainly hope you do. What are you seeing in the real economy out there? What was your big headline for this year? We've talked a lot about comings and goings, some of the macro aspects, if you will, of our economy. Rick Ferentz, in general, very broadly speaking, it sounds like this is a motif of improvement.
Well, I think it's definitely. I think we've definitely witnessed some improvement. I did throw out the caveat much earlier in the conversation that there are still people looking for work out there. There are still people who are underemployed. And one of the things I think, that we need to get into is the emphasis that this area is increasingly placing on closing skills gaps. A lot of your job developers, a lot of your economic development officials recognize that this is sort of the next battlefront, mm-hmm. And making sure that people in this area have the skills that either allow them to continue to do their jobs, to re-enter the workforce, or to just enter the workforce for the first time. And so there's been a lot of focus and emphasis on that.
And in fact, when we talk about, what was your biggest headline, Fort Wayne just this month had a big headline in the Wall Street Journal, of all places, an article by Mark Peters, David Wessel, who we hear on NPR regularly, called A Jobless Dilemma, What's Wrong with Fort Wayne? And the point of the article, basically, lots of jobs available, but businesses aren't finding folks with the skills to
Yeah, I'm not sure many folks in Fort Wayne were really, we're probably
thrilled
happy with
that.
No, we're happy with the headline. No, the article was okay. What's wrong with Fort Wayne makes it seem like we haven't really been doing anything here. But the article correctly points out that this is a significant issue in this area. And you can go around the area and talk to the LEDOs, the local economic development officials, and they will all tell you that that closing the skills gap. I know that's a general term. It's a mm-hmm. skills gap in certain areas and certain industries, but that closing that is going to be really vital to our future progress economically.
Well, let's just talk a little bit before we go to the break here about that a little more specifically. And one of the industries we hear the skills gap being brought up in is advanced manufacturing. It's no longer so much about brawn. It's very much a computer programming position in a lot of businesses now.
Right, and what a lot of educational institutions are doing is they're not necessarily focusing on 2-year and 4-year degrees, although they can. But there's been increasing emphasis on certifications. And so I think that's something that you'll see more and more happening in our area, where you can be certified as a drill operator or some such thing. So it's not a job I don't think I'll ever do. That's why I sound kind of vague about it. But
you can always fill that skills gap. And just to kind of jump in on that. The last couple of years, the Northeast Indiana Regional Partnership has been working on another aspect of it, in addition to the certifications, with the soft skills kind of stuff, the literacy and teamwork and project collaboration skills, even down into the school age kids. So I think we're working on it, but there's a long way to go still.
And there are a lot of ripple effects, I would say, with those jobs going unfilled as well. I mean, not only are people unemployed, but businesses who may have maybe getting orders in, they may have this extra capacity. They may not be able to fill those orders locally. They may not be able to do more business. That ripples across our local economy.
It does. Mm. So, but I think there's enough emphasis on the skills gap that I think that we will close it. So I'm pretty optimistic about that. I think enough attention is being paid to that. I know that a lot of attention is being paid to bringing in higher wage jobs. And then I think the other thing that I had a discussion with John Sampson with the partnership recently about, you know, his greatest concern was not my number one on the list, which is what was going on at the federal level. His greatest concern was internally and the dialogue that we have internally. And so for a number of years now, we've been pushing to more collaboratively address economic issues. A lot of progress has been made. There's been a lot of buy-in. There have been a number of groups that have formed, high-power groups filled with people with influence. And his concern, John Sampson's concern, is that we become complacent at some point and lose that kind of momentum that we've already established, that momentum of working together, that it's not one particular county, it's not one particular industry, it's all of us together. Mm-hmm. And the more we work together, the more inertia we have towards us. So, you know, I think looking forward, one of the things we have to make sure is that sort of this momentum that we have achieved, and I believe that we have achieved a certain measure of momentum, that it doesn't die.
Mm-hmm. We do need to take a quick break here. We'll finish the discussion when we get back. And of course, we want you to join up in the last few minutes here. 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, Christoph Waltz talks about starring in Quentin Tarantino's new film, Django Unchained. Waltz won an Oscar as well as a Golden Globe, BAFTA, and SAG Award for his portrayal of the Nazi SS officer Hans Landa in Tarantino's previous film, Inglourious Basterds. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
The head of NATO says the Assad regime is close to collapse. Even Russia seems ready to concede that Bashar al-Assad's government may not survive the civil war. I'm Neil Conan, amid reports that Scud missiles have been fired and a Syrian government warning that rebels could get their hands on chemical weapons. How desperate is Damascus? Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
For keeping on top of the news.
You're listening to the BBC World Service.
I'm Robin Lustig.
I'm Julian Marshall.
This is Owen Bennett-Jones
with NewsHour.
For finding out what's happened.
They're out on the stage, the protest leaders, still trying to rally their supporters.
And for knowing why it's happened.
They've often then turned to the Taliban as another way of earning a living.
Stay in touch with the world with NewsHour from the BBC.
The BBC NewsHour, weekday mornings at 9 on WBOI.
Just about 5 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters Financial Focus on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, and with us in studio, it's Rick Ferrant. He's a reporter at the Greater Fort Wayne Business Weekly, also dancing to our theme song this hour as well. We're talking this hour about the biggest business, economics, money headlines of 2012, and we want to hear from you in the last few minutes. Give us a call, 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We had a caller who left a message with us. He'd like to know if we could discuss the biotech firms in Northeast and Northern Indiana. Just a bank, of course. Rick Ferrant, we have become, have been for some time, a central location for especially biotech manufacturing.
Yeah, we have. And by the way, I wasn't really dancing. I was kind of bobbing my head.
Okay, all right.
but yeah, certainly for the biotech firms and the medical device industries, and I know we don't have enough time to like go into great depth about that industry, which has suffered. Go ahead.
I wanted to say briefly. It looks like, we were going to have Jack on the line there. Looks like we beat him to the question just a bit. Sorry about that, Jack. Go ahead, Rick.
They've had their ups and downs, especially recently. And there's the whole thing of the medical device tax that's sort of hanging over their heads, which, that whole thing hasn't been resolved. However, just generally speaking, it's still a strong industry for this area. It continues to grow. We've had a number of firms that are related to the industry, Great Batch Medical, which announced a big project, and Iotron Industries, which is going to service the medical device and biotech industry. So it's still strong. It's still growing. It's still incredibly viable to the region. So.
Well, and it seems like, you know, we have these major manufacturers, but also a lot of smaller innovators kind of clustering in that area as well.
Yeah. Correct. Yep.
Kind of suppliers to them. Mm-hmm. And then another, talking about major industries for the area, General Motors had some good news this year.
GM announced that they would be building their next generation pickup trucks at the plant right here in Fort Wayne.
Right. And that's a whole area we didn't touch, which is the auto industry. And you've got Continental Plastics out in Huntington that just announced that it was going to be the sole provider for most of the exterior body of the next model Corvette. So yeah, we have some good things going on in the auto industry. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
cool. And then some in the Cummings area, we've had a few goings. Navistar finished their relocation. Lincoln Food Service closed. Raytheon and Lincoln National Corp both had some job cuts. So the big name players are kind of changing this year.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to, we just have about a minute here left in the program, but Rick, I want to put this to you. We heard earlier this month that the Indiana Economic Development Corporation was going to have a record year for job announcements. Of course, not all of those jobs will pan out necessarily, but that does add to our trend of good news in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, it does, and I think we've created a good environment in Indiana. I think in Indiana and Northeast Indiana and elsewhere. I mean, as I said, I think that we've created a good dialogue for the region and for the state, and then it's incumbent upon us to continue to create that dialogue. And I think it's going to happen. You know, I don't sense that we're losing the energy. And we really can't afford to. Because as we know, we live in a global economy. We're not just competing with people next door. We're competing with the world at large. And that requires an awful lot of energy and an awful lot of insight. So,
Well, we've reached the end of the program, unfortunately. But Rick Ferrant, a reporter at Greater Fort Wayne Business Weekly, thanks very much for being with us
today. It's been great. I've enjoyed it.
We'll have you back again in another 12 months to talk about how 2013 went.
Right.
Susan Birds, thank you very much for being with us as well.
Thank you, Sean. And since the next two Tuesdays are holidays, I would like to wish our listeners Happy New Year.
Absolutely. And very happy holidays. Have a great season. Thanks very much to our listeners for being with us today and throughout the year. Thanks to those who called and left their comments. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. We're coming up on 1 o'clock. Fresh Air is next. Have a great day, everybody.